You are locked in to Locked On Badgers, Thursday, December 12th. Rutgers, yeah, Rutgers, beats the Badgers at the rack, 72-65. We'll get into it. The Fire Greg Gard noise is alive. It's alive and well. And a lot more to get into about this game. I have a lot of takes on this game, a lot of things to say. We'll get into it right here on Locked On Badgers. My name is Asher Lowe. I am the sports director at WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. I'm also a contributor at BadgerBlitz.com and a play-by-play broadcaster for many Badger sports, including basketball and football. Most importantly, I am your host right here on Locked On Badgers, the podcast that brings you the inside student perspective filled with stats, special guests, and all things Wisconsin Badgers sports. Make sure you listen and follow for free on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, and of course you can get this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And you can play Locked On Badgers on your smart speakers by saying play podcast Locked On Badgers. Also, please, if you listen on Apple, leave us a review. Leave a review. You know, I want to know what you think about Locked On Badgers. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you again for listening every single day right here on Locked On Badgers. We got a lot to talk about with this Rutgers game, a lot to talk about with this Wisconsin basketball team, and then getting into Professional Thursday, a segment we do every Thursday now on Locked On Badgers, talking about some Badgers at the professional ranks. A really fun story from the NFL. Actually, two really fun stories for Badger alums at the NFL level. Two really awesome things that happened this past weekend. We'll get into that at the end of the show. But right now, I don't know if Wisconsin basketball can win a Big Ten game. Doesn't matter if they're playing Northwestern, if they're playing Maryland, if they're playing Michigan, top or bottom. I don't know if they can win a Big Ten game. I don't care who they're playing. If Nate Reavers and Demetri Trice play the way they did at the rack that we just watched tonight, I'll go out on a limb and say they're not going to win a game in the Big Ten if Demetri Trice and Nate Reavers play the way that I just watched them play at Rutgers. Demetri Trice was utterly useless tonight. Just nothing from him. It was almost worse than watching a bad performance. It was watching a non-existent performance. It wasn't as if he was making an effort, you know, a concerted effort to put his imprint on the game and just, you know, shots weren't falling or things weren't going his way. No, it was just, I didn't notice him out there, and when I did, it was only for the wrong reasons. 23 minutes on the court for Demetri Trice tonight, two total shot attempts, 1 for 2 from the field, and negative five impact on this game. Just no impact at all. And was torched, Wisconsin's team was torched, by Geo Baker, the fantastic Rutgers guard. We'll get into why he is the difference in this game in many ways, and why guards in college basketball are the difference in a little bit. Trice totally useless tonight. Nothing to offer for Wisconsin tonight. Nothing positive to offer for Wisconsin at all. Nate Reavers tonight, timid, very little impact, wasn't playing, and the announcers were noting this, and they were absolutely correct in saying it. Never really looked like he had full energy tonight behind him. Never looked like he had full effort behind him. Didn't look like he wanted to be there at times. It was just almost like he didn't care tonight. He didn't really give it his all tonight. And you have to give it your all in this Big Ten Conference. Like I said, it doesn't matter who you're playing. Every team in this league can beat you on any given night, especially when you're playing them on the road. And this wasn't even an upset. I mean, Vegas had Rutgers -1.5 coming into this game. I'm not saying this was some huge upset, but it was an extremely winnable game for Wisconsin. And you see that just based on how badly they played for most of this game, yet still had a chance to win it. Because they didn't play well at all on either end tonight. Nate Reavers just not playing with the physicality. The amount of times I watch him in the post or in the mid-range area, and he'll just fade away from everything, fade away from contact, fading away from the basket, and miss a shot badly because he's fading away and making a very, very tough shot out of what could be a much easier look. It's just frustrating. For a guy with so much talent, so much athletic ability, 2 for 8 tonight, 1 for 4 from three, never had a rhythm, never looked like he was giving 110% energy, never looked fully engaged. Wisconsin was saved offensively by some unexpected sources, one of them being Trey Mamba. He was really the most unexpected source. But this bench overall played well, and I talked yesterday how the bench had to give this team more production. Well, they were one of the only bright spots tonight. And I don't know if we can expect Trevor Anderson to give Wisconsin double digits at all consistently. I don't think we can. And I don't think tonight was some like revelation of something we didn't know existed for Trevor Anderson. No, it was just a couple buckets that were tough that he hit. A three at the end of the half to give Wisconsin their first lead of the game was what I thought could be a big momentum changer, big momentum shift headed into halftime. The way you finish halves in college basketball, the way you finish quarters in the NBA, just massive. Means so much. And Wisconsin finished the half on a 9-0 run. You know, all of a sudden, I'm thinking that Trevor Anderson three at the end of the half, the buzzer-beating three, is a momentum changer in this game. And I was wrong. Trevor Anderson made a few tough ones. Trey Mamba living up to his nickname. But that's not a consistent way for Wisconsin to get offense. Trevor Anderson hitting threes and hitting a ridiculous contested and one layup. That's not consistent. But the bench wasn't awful tonight. Let's take a positive out of that. Once again, Kobe King also, back to the starters, looks like the best shot creator on this team. Once again, 18 points for him leading the way. He can create his own. Basically nobody else could tonight, and that's painful to watch. The ball movement, the looks weren't actually awful. Like, the team offense wasn't terrible tonight. It was really just individually. Dimitri Trice looked like a deer in headlights. Looked like he didn't want anything to do with the basketball, didn't want anything to do with decision-making tonight. And Nate Rivers looked like he wasn't fully invested, wasn't fully engaged. And when those two struggle the way they did tonight, Brad Davison just, I mean, kind of an irrelevant performance. Not a bad performance by any means, but not one where he really left his stamp on this game. But those two, Nate Rivers and Dimitri Trice, when they play like this, how is Wisconsin going to win a Big Ten game? You tell me, because I don't know. I got no idea. No answer for you there. Once again, the bench wasn't awful. Okay. By the way, Aleem Ford, why is he a shooter that can't shoot? Like, why with that frame and that, you know, the physical gifts that he has, why does he just resort to being a shooter that can't really shoot consistently on offense? Why is that his only offensive role? Beats me sometimes. And he's shown a little bit more aggressiveness going to the basket this year. Did not show it tonight. College basketball is a sport made for guards. It's completely 100% made for guards. I will tell you exactly why and give you the proof behind it, not only in tonight's game, but over the last few years in NCAA basketball, coming right up. So I guess Wisconsin's best guard tonight was Trey Mamba. I mean, I love seeing it for Trevor Anderson, the transfer. I love seeing him hitting some shots, but like I said, it's not consistent offense. Nothing about it screamed consistency to me. It just screamed a guy going 4-for-5 from the field, you know, in limited touches, limited shots. College basketball, as we saw tonight, is dominated by scoring guards. That's who wins college basketball games. That's who wins NCAA championships. Look over the past handful of years at the NCAA champion, and look at the guard that led them. Last year, combination of Ty Jerome and Kyle Guy, two NBA players right now, Ty Jerome on the Suns roster, Kyle Guy on the Kings roster, two NBA guys who led Virginia to a national championship. Year before that, Jalen Brunson, player of the year, also an NBA player. Year before that, Joel Berry, senior leader for North Carolina, hit big shots. Year before that, Josh Hart, NBA player for Villanova. Year before that, Tyus Jones, who tragically destroyed Wisconsin. Oh, by the way. Year before that, Shabazz Napier literally took UConn to the NCAA championship by himself after they should have lost in the first round of that NCAA tournament in overtime to St. Joe's. Real quick side note, by the way. St. Joe's, I want to give some credit. Michigan has been giving all this credit to Juwan Howard, right, and this coaching staff. There's a guy named Phil Martelli, who coached at St. Joe's for a long time. And he is an amazing X's and O's basketball coach. He is Juwan Howard's lead assistant right now at Michigan. And I'm telling you, give a lot of the credit to him as well. Juwan Howard built a great staff, not taking anything away from him. But also, I want to hear Phil Martelli's name mentioned when we talk about Michigan and how good they've been this year. So put some respect on Phil Martelli's name, please. Just for me. Do it for me. my mid-major. I just love mid-major college basketball. I think it's in my Twitter bio. It's literally my favorite thing ever. Follow me on Twitter, by the way, alo_33. Follow Locked On Badgers on Twitter. But yeah, I love mid-majors. Phil Martelli, legend. Year before Shabazz Napier, by the way, Peyton Siva and Russ Smith for Louisville. A couple years before that, what about Kemba Walker? Scoring guards win college basketball games. Geo Baker went off. 9-for-18 wasn't the world's most efficient night, but a fantastic night for him. Anytime you shoot 50% from the field, you are extremely happy and satisfied with that, which I'm sure Coach Peichel was. And Geo Baker was doing it all over the floor. I mean, the three ball looked pure. The pull-up looked pure. Getting to the rim, breaking this Wisconsin defense down, was the best player on the floor. Why? Because he can put the ball in the basket and create for himself. He can create shots for himself. He is a scoring guard. That's who wins college basketball games. Geo Baker did that, exactly did that tonight. And look at the guards for Wisconsin. Demetri Trice, Brad Davison. Two guys that with this core, Trice and Davison, they cannot win games consistently in the Big Ten. They just can't. They're both Greg Gard guys. You can bring this back to Greg Gard. I'm happy to bring this back to Greg Gard. You know how I feel about Greg Gard. You know I think he should get the chance to coach this talent he has coming in. And by the way, I want to add an asterisk to that, that if Wisconsin could find someone that they think would right now be a better fit for this program, because Greg Gard is not the long-term solution. That's never what I said. I said you have to give him the opportunity to coach the talent, because you can't afford to lose that talent with the position that Wisconsin is in right now, losing the four stars next year, losing right now what is the number one recruiting class in 2021 in the country. You just cannot afford to lose that right now. But the asterisk is this. The caveat is this. If you can find someone either, and I would think it has to be someone that's completely connected to this Wisconsin program, someone maybe that has connections to Gard in some way, someone that has connections to this program, this area, this state, and would do a better job of leading this team right now, that can keep a majority, if not all, of those recruits, then I'd talk about firing Greg Gard. But you can't do it and risk losing 2 years of progress in the next 2 years in terms of recruiting. Because college basketball, let's face it, college sports, it all starts with recruiting. It absolutely does. Look at Greg Gard's failure right now. The reason he's failing right now is because of a lack of recruiting in the past, but he has that lined up for the future. You can talk about his X's and O's all you want. You can talk about how bad the offense looks. He's failing right now because he did not recruit well enough. And let me tell you, his saving grace right now, his only saving grace, is the fact that he does have those recruits lined up, which, in my opinion, like I said, unless you can find someone that you will guarantee yourself, and this would be very hard to do, that you would not lose many, if any, of those recruits over the next 2 years, you have to stay with Greg Gard for right now. I know it's not the answer Wisconsin fans want to hear, but I think you'd agree with me that Wisconsin needs those two classes in the worst way. So, Demetri Trice and Brad Davison. Demetri Trice tonight, I mean, he doesn't know who he is. I think that's the biggest problem for him. He doesn't know who Demetri Trice is as a basketball player. He lacks an identity. I can't really tell you what he is. And I mean, he's not a point guard. He's not a shooting guard. He's not really a combo guard. He's kind of rigid with the basketball. He's not a fantastic ball handler. He's a good ball handler. He doesn't have amazing dribble moves. He's a good finisher sometimes, and then sometimes he looks lost at the rim. He's a pretty good outside shooter. That's probably the one thing you can say about him that's consistent. Can he create for himself? Not really. Can he create for others? Not really. He's simply not the answer. But he has to be because this team lacks depth. But oh boy, I want to talk about this right now. This team is going to get a little more depth because Micah Potter comes back against UW-Milwaukee at home in Wisconsin's next game. Micah Potter's back, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, it was unjust. It was unfair. We've talked about it on this show. Ridiculous that Micah Potter, the Ohio State transfer, was held out for 10 games of this year. Wisconsin fought it and fought it and fought it. Didn't win. Ridiculous that he was held out. So Michael Potter will probably slip into a starting role that I think Greg Gard will decide to fill a Aleem Ford spot with his. And like I said yesterday, I consider a different approach. I consider really putting some offense on the bench. I think it'll be a lean forward, a like-for-like switch. But Wisconsin needs some firepower off this bench badly. We'll see what it is. I think it'll be, like I said, Micah Potter sliding into that starting lineup for a lean forward. We'll see how that can pay dividends. And we'll really talk about that in detail when he plays against UW-Milwaukee. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Finally, some hope. Some hope for this Wisconsin basketball program with Micah Potter coming back. Cannot wait to see him. Coming up, professional Badgers. Right now, a note from Casper. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams for a quality sleep surface with the right amounts of both sink and bounce. Get $100 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/LockedNFL and using LockedNFL at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. If you can't visit Casper right now, you can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at LockedOnPodcasts.com/offers. Let's talk about something more cheery. A really, really fun couple of stories here with Pro Badgers this week on our professional Badgers segment. Pro Badgers, let's get into it. Remember Alex Erickson, a Badger who went undrafted in 2016? Hard to forget because he had a senior season to remember at Wisconsin. Caught 77 passes for 978 and 3 tutties. First team All-Big Ten performer as named by the media that year. So I was watching some highlights on Twitter. I was just scrolling Twitter, and I see a Bengals highlight of a trick play against the Browns, and I'm like, whoa, who is that throwing that football? So it was a pitch to Erickson. I didn't realize at the time watching the video without sound. Pitch to Erickson. Erickson throws a dart for 26 yards and a first down. He threw a 26-yard pass for the Bengals. And by the way, he was a former quarterback. I looked this up. I didn't know this, but a former quarterback at Darlington High School in Wisconsin and the Wisconsin State High School Player of the Year. So awesome to see that from the Darlington native throwing a 26-yard pass. Oh, by the way, the former undrafted player had 5 catches, 45 yards receiving as well, and he's really starting to carve out a role finally with the Bengals this year. So good for him. Yes, a losing team, but he is carving out a role in the National Football League, and that is awesome to see. Turning to the hardwood, Frank the Tank tonight against the Grizzlies. How about it? Season high 24 for Frank. 9 for 12 from the field, 5 boards, 3 assists, some pure shooting from the 7-footer. He was on fire tonight. Look at those highlights. He was just stroking it in a loss, but he was stroking it. I mean, he was balling up. His stroke has always been sweet, but his shot's getting even better in the NBA. And this year with the Suns, he's really had a kind of a resurgence year for his career. So happy for Frank. His number 44 will always be in the Kohl Center rafters. How about Derek Watt? First career touchdown on a 1-yard run this week. Derek Watt, baby, Chargers legend. No, he's not exactly yet. But special teams mostly is what he's been playing. But huge to get his first NFL touchdown. J.J. Watt tweeted about it. Awesome to see brothers supporting brothers and Badgers supporting Badgers. For the Badgers coming up, obviously UW-Milwaukee coming up soon for this Badger basketball team. Actually, a bit of a long break in between today and that next game. December 21st, a little finals week break as Wisconsin will play UW-Milwaukee at the Kohl Center. If you want to see Micah Potter take the floor for the first time for the Badgers in a regular season game, it's going to be awesome. December 21st to see Micah Potter. And we'll be previewing that game right here on Locked On Badgers, of course, when we get closer to it. Rose Bowl talk, of course, coming up on Locked On Badgers. We preview Oregon next week. We're going to dive into Oregon, get some Oregon, hopefully some professionals that, you know, cover Oregon on a day-to-day basis in here. Cannot wait for that coverage. I'm Asher Lowe, as always, on Wisconsin. Thank you for listening. Leave a review, if you can, on Apple. If you listen to it on Apple, if you listen to this podcast on Apple, that would be awesome, leaving a review. Thank you so much for listening to Locked On Badgers on Wisconsin.